This is the remnant. We are the remnant. Those who stayed in Columbus and are too lazy to run a marathon. I love that Whit asked if someone went to cheer on the marathon people, and that made you hardcore. That's how low the bar is for us. Wow, you went out there and cheered for him? Oh, man. Way to take it to another level. Now, I did walk by the marathoners and thought, wow, they got up early and they look in agony. It's like mile 16 right there. So it was, they all had pain looks on their faces, but way more guts than I ever had. It is fall break, and it has been an awesome fall break so far, hasn't it? Have you guys been refreshed? Got some rest? I got to do an H2O wedding yesterday, which was awesome. Ian and Sarah Wagner are now married. It was beautiful. I don't know if you know this, but there was also an addition to H2O. Kevin and Julie, Cody, their baby is here. Hannah, Cody is here. And of course the game, which was mentioned, that was fun. But I'm really excited about today. Because it's fall break, we decided, well, we're in between sermon series right now, let's talk about something that is a habit, a discipline that is one of the most needed, one of the most beautiful, refreshing, nourishing parts of the Christian life, and yet one that so many Christians ignore. And that's simply this, the habit of rest. So we're going to talk about this today, but before we jump in, why don't we pray? Ask God to be with us in this time. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. I thank you that we can gather together and worship you and take a break from all the things that are on our mind, all the things that are on our hearts. We can just pause those things and remind ourselves of what's really important. Lord, we come together as a congregation, and we ask that you would help us focus our mind and our heart on you. Lord, we tell you we love you. We want to sit at your feet. We want to learn from you today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so there's this passage in the Gospels. Jesus is teaching, and he is laying out some amazing truths. And one of the things he does in the midst of that is he's telling the people, look, some of these things are going to be hard to understand for the wise among you. Because the wisdom of the world, it's hard to reconcile some of what I'm teaching with that. And in the context of that, and the context of saying, look, some of the things that I'm sharing are going to shake things up and rub you the wrong way, he drops a couple verses here that you've probably heard before but are so profound. In the midst of his ministry, he says this. This is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And it's so simple, but he says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And the word there, it means to be refreshed, to be revived. And I don't know if you've come face to face with this yet or you've embraced this yet, but you are hardwired to need rest. Every one of us is hardwired to need rest. We see this in science. We see this in the scientific community affirms this. A few years ago, I happened to be reading National Geographic, and I read this article, and it was all about sleep, and they have a picture of a sleeping baby. It was beautiful. It drew me in, and I was fascinated about sleep. And I was reading it, and we tend to think of sleep as a time where everything shuts down, but it's not the case at all. Sleep is this active period where important processing and restoration and strengthening take place. It's vital for our health. In fact, if you don't sleep, you will die. I don't know if you knew that. They're not exactly sure why. But without rest, you will die. And yet, in the midst of that, how powerful this is, scientists don't really understand it. This is my favorite part of this article, is this professor from Stanford, the retired dean of sleep studies, they asked him to tell what he knew after 50 years of research about the reason we sleep. And he said this, and I quote, "As far as I know," he answered, "the only reason we need to sleep that is really, really solid is because we get sleepy." He's like, okay, we don't fully understand this, but we know this is essential. We know this is powerful. And this echoes what we read in Scripture. Right in the very beginning of Genesis, at creation, in Genesis chapter 2, it says this: on the seventh day, God finished his work of creation that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because of it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And regardless of what you think about the first few chapters of Genesis and whether those were real days or long days or your young earth or your old earth, we see this principle right here. We see this put forth that God himself rested from creation. And then in Exodus, the next book, we see a pattern for creation. This is in Exodus 23. This is a command given to his people: 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. And we see this all throughout the Old Testament, is this idea that we are supposed to follow this pattern, that we need rest, that animals need rest, even the land needs rest. It's intertwined with creation. That's how we're hardwired. Hopefully you guys know that. I know you sense it all the time. You're fighting it. You're caffeinating yourself. You're wrestling against it. But we were made this way. And here is this beautiful passage where Jesus is sharing this invitation. Come to me and I will give you rest. And who's this invitation to? He says, it's all who labor. And the Greek word here, it means those who work and grow weary. It even has the sense of those who are emotionally fatigued, drained, discouraged. Does that sound like any of you? Any of you tired? Any of you discouraged? Alex, put his hand up, he's bold. Yes, a lot of us. Emotionally drained, fatigued, feel like we're worn out. All who labor and all who are heavy laden. And the word means here to be burdened, to be loaded down. Anybody relate to that? Any of you going through life and feel like you're carrying large burdens, big responsibilities? Maybe you're carrying high expectations that other people have of you. Maybe you're searching for something and you're weighed down by that. Maybe you're chasing after something. This is all of us, isn't it? Yes? Can any of you relate to this? One person nod, and I will take you as a representative of everyone. Yes! This is us, right? This is all of us. We are living in this space of fatigue and burden, and especially you guys. I don't know if you realize this, but you are in a very stressed out season of life. You guys, I know you're like, yes, you're telling me that. 68% of college students say they have trouble being able to fall asleep at night because they're so stressed out about their academics. 20% of students say they feel stressed out all the time. 80% sometimes or often. That leaves like 0% who are not, at least sometimes. I thought this was fascinating. College students in the United States rank dead last in the amount of sleep that they get on average in a worldwide study conducted in 2013. So of all the people everywhere on the whole planet, college students in America are getting the least amount of sleep. Isn't that crazy? And I know that there's probably people who in their day-to-day life are more stressed out than you guys, right? People who are at war, or they're police officers, or they're working multiple jobs, or maybe they have huge families and there's financial stress. But the point is, you in particular are in this pretty stressful season of life. And yet we live in a culture that is actively telling you that not resting is a sign of strength, isn't it? It's a culture that says, look, you need to man up. You need to woman up. You need to work harder. You need to do more. You need to push yourself. Sleep is weakness. We live in a culture that brags about how many hours they work and how little sleep they get, right? How many all-nighters you had to pull. How little rest that you're getting. I want to just ask you this morning, do you guys really realize that you need rest? Have you embraced that? We are not superheroes. We have been created and hardwired to need rest. It is not a badge of honor to not rest. In fact, I'll tell you this, not resting, it is a sign of an unhealthy life. So if you are here this morning and you have difficulty resting, if you have difficulty even thinking you need rest, that is not a badge of honor, that is a sign of unhealth. Do you guys realize that? When you go to the doctor and there's something wrong, one of the first things they ask you is how you're sleeping. Isn't that funny? And here's something else, you may or may not know this. If you go to a counselor, that's one of the first things they ask you too. It's true physically, it's true emotionally, and it's also true spiritually. Let me read this from Psalm 127 to you. It says this, this is in the Message. If God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. It's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? I love that passage. It shows, it gives us a little glimpse into the heart of God. Many of you, you view God as someone who just wants you to work as hard as you could possibly work. Be like Austin, fill your days. And if you have any free time, you better be doing ministry. A taskmaster. And this passage is so beautiful. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? And this is the scene Jesus is saying to them, come to me. He is giving them an invitation to rest. And the invitation is so simple. Come to me. And I will give you rest. In the Greek, the I is emphasized. I will give you rest. Because the reality is we long for this rest, right? We all sense that we need it. And yet the world offers us something other than rest. The world offers us escape, right? Says, look, I know there's something you need. I'll give you escape. There's this cycle. See if you can recognize this cycle at all in your life. We're burdened. We've got a lot on our plate. We get busy. We get tired. We feel pressure. We get stressed. And we start longing for a place where we don't have to think about our burdens. We don't have to think about our stress. We don't have to think about our responsibilities. So we escape. We escape to things that'll help us to forget. Right? And for each of us, it could be different. Maybe it's eating. Maybe it's football. Maybe it's video games. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe it's Snapchat or Instagram. And for many of us, it could even turn to more harmful pursuits. Maybe we're drinking a lot or escaping to the internet and we're looking at porn or we're doing drugs. And listen, some of those things are not inherently bad, okay? Fun things are not bad. Some of that stuff isn't bad at all, and we should enjoy it. You know, the other day, my son Isaac, he's 12, he loves video games. When he gets permission, he goes down and plays them. And the other day, I yelled down to the basement, and I said, hey, bud, how many brain cells are you killing down there? And I just hear this voice, millions, it's great. And it was fine. He had worked really hard that day. He wanted a little break. He was doing something fun. God is not anti-fun. But when we're tired and when we're stressed and we need to be filled up, rest is different than escape. Those video games are never going to fill my son up. They're not going to provide real rest. And we live in a culture that has taught us, I know you are tired and burdened. What you need to do is escape. Go have some fun and everything will be better. And it doesn't get better, does it? We escape for a while and we come back and maybe we're discouraged or maybe we've done things that we know are wrong and we feel even more discouraged. Rest is different than escape. And Jesus is saying this, don't go to those things. Don't go somewhere else. Come to me. Come to me. And then he says this in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he paints this picture, a picture of a yoke, which of course you all know what a yoke is, right? No, because we have no idea what that is. This is a yoke. So this is this contraption that fastens the necks of two animals together so they can share a load, share a burden to stabilize it. It might seem weird to us, his listeners. They would have clued right in. I don't know what the cool equivalent of that would be today. But there's this idea that we're sharing a load. In the Jewish culture, a yoke also symbolized obedience and the acceptance of responsibility. And so when Jewish people would speak about carrying the yoke of God's law and the yoke of his kingdom, which one accepted by acknowledging God and keeping his commandments. So there was an understanding of what a yoke represents, and the yoke of the Pharisees brought with it the burden of performance, the feeling of responsibility. I need to obey. I need to please God through how I perform every minute of every day. And the leaders, they added to that. They took God's word and they added extra stuff because the people felt loaded down. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can gain God's approval. And that was the yoke of the Pharisees. And Jesus came and he said, exactly what Austin shared, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. And my yoke is different. And it is easy. And it's not because the call to discipleship is less demanding. It's not because somehow God's holiness got dropped. Because it makes us pupils of one who is gentle and humble in his heart. Pupils of one who has grace for us. Pupils of one who has set us free. Instead of you need to perform for God's approval, you need to rest and depend on Jesus, the one who performed for you. You need to join with him. It's an unequal yoke. You're yoked with Jesus, and he's doing all the work. You're with him. You're following him. Your whole life belongs to him, but he is the one. His work, his activity has gained the approval of the Father, has paid the price for your sin. So your identity, your security, your peace, it's all now there. You don't have to wake up every morning and strive for it. You don't have to wake up every morning and perform, hoping upon hope that God might be pleased with you, right? This is the heart of the gospel, isn't it? Jesus saw our brokenness. He saw our need. He saw us trying to gain God's approval in our own strength, and he saw that it was killing us and burdening us and that we could not do it. And so he interceded. He led a perfect life. He paid the penalty that we couldn't pay so that we might trust, we might rest in his work and be restored. True rest, it centers around the gospel. True rest centers around the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we need not strive in our own strength anymore. And this is actually the pattern that we see in Scripture. All the way through the Old Testament, there's a great story about when the Jews were coming out of Egypt and God is leading them there and he provided food for them. He provided manna. And every day they would wake up and the manna would be there and they'd have to go and work. They'd have to gather it. And on the sixth day, they'd have to gather twice as much because on the seventh day, it wouldn't be there. And they weren't supposed to go out and gather. They were supposed to take that day and connect with their Heavenly Father and remember. They were to rest and they were to remember that God is real and he is in control and he will provide. I am not on my own. He is with us. And we can easily forget those realities, can't we? That he is with us, that he is present, that he is sovereign, that he is in control. And all of a sudden, our little stories become the big story. Our little trials become all-encompassing, and we lose perspective. And in the midst of that, this call to rest, it's a call to an act of faith. That's all that it is. It's simply an act of faith. And it is vulnerable, and it's risky to rest, isn't it? Because questions come up. What will happen if I sit down? What will happen if I took a day off? What would happen if I carve out time with Jesus every day? My productivity is going to plummet. What if I don't perform? What if I don't have time for the things that I like? What if I actually relinquish control of some of my time? Will God actually show up? Will he actually revive me? Will he actually still take care of those things, like the manna that I need? Will he do those things for me? Is he really here? And so instead, we talk ourselves into just keeping busy. You know what? I'll just make sure there's manna. I'll do a little work. I know I need rest, but I'm not so sure God's going to come through. So I'll make it happen. I can't just sit. I can't just be. Because deep down, I still feel like I need to perform. I need to get things done. And there's something so powerful about rest when we experience it, isn't there? Just the other day, I've been getting into this habit. I'm like wound up most of the time. Because I'm intense. That's how God made me. So this is a very difficult thing for me to do. And when I feel that way, I've sensed, okay, there's something wrong with my spirit. I take my dog, Daisy May, and me and Dee, we go to the park. So we walk out, and then I let her off the leash. And I know this may sound weird, and I just let her frolic. And she tears through the woods, and she catches chipmunks and every now and then. And I watch her frolic, and then I just walk in creation. And there's something amazing that happens. And I know you've experienced these times where we really rest. And maybe we're in creation and we're just reminded of the bigness of God. And we're reminded of his majesty. We're reminded of his beauty. We're reminded that he's big and that he's in control. And we're reminded that we're small. And that the things that we're getting all worked up about aren't as big a deal as we thought they were. And we're reminded that me connecting with the creator of the universe is the most important thing. It's like perspective comes, real perspective about the bigness of God, real perspective about the importance of my own humility. And it reminds me of eternity. I love the fact that in Scripture, heaven is described as a Sabbath rest. This English revivalist, George Whitefield, says this: how sweet is rest after fatigue, and how sweet will heaven be when our journey has ended. In some ways, when we rest, it's like we're declaring the truth of the gospel. We're declaring it to others, and we're declaring it to ourselves. And I think one of the reasons many of us struggle to rest is that deep down, we don't know if we really believe the gospel. We don't know if it's okay for us to stop trying to perform and gain God's approval. We don't know if really God loves us and is gracious and desires a relationship with us. We're not so sure that he is close and that he is moving in this world and that he is working for his kingdom. We question his goodness. We're not secure in his love. And here is Jesus, and he just says, look, come to me. And he invites us into really what's a spiritual discipline. I don't know if you guys know this, but rest is a spiritual discipline. To say, I am going to rest. It's something that was commanded all throughout the Old Testament. The Sabbath points us back to this over and over and over again. And I don't believe that the commands of the Sabbath now apply to us as believers in Christ. I don't believe we have to set that seventh day apart and obey all the laws of the Old Testament, but that idea, that principle, it is as true as it has ever been, that we were made for rest, and setting apart time to worship the Lord and to be with him is as vital as it's ever been. What I would like to throw out to you guys this morning is that spiritually healthy individuals rest. That's what they do. You know, many of you may have heard of spiritual disciplines, silence and solitude and prayer and worship. And in our frantic, kind of short attention span culture these days, we need these now more than ever. But they all really start with what Jesus says here. Just stop, just be still, and come to me. Come to me. Come to me, the person who has saved you and who loves you. And you're going to find rest in our relationship. You know, my son has just finished up his soccer season. This is my 12-year-old, Isaac. And their team didn't do remarkably well, but everybody makes the playoffs. So they were in the playoffs last week. And they were playing a team they'd already lost to, so we didn't have high hopes. So they were all milling around, and right before the game started, I called him over. And I was like, hey, come here. And sometimes parents do that because they're giving like last-minute instructions. This is what you need to do. Watch number 12, you know. And sometimes I can do that because, like I said, I'm a little intense. But I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I know that him winning or losing this is not important in the grand scheme of things. So I pulled him over, and I said, look, Isaac, I want you to be aggressive, all right? Work hard. But know this. No matter what the score is at the end of this game, this story ends with you and me at Chick-fil-A. That's all you need to know. And so, after the game, which we lost 6-1, we had this great time at Chick-fil-A. And we ate, and we talked, and we laughed. And he said, it's on to basketball season. I said, all right. And it was just this picture, this moment of like, this is what we want. This is what I want. You know, to sit with my boy at Chick-fil-A and bond with him and be tight with him and have our relationship grow, that's what I want. And there's some rest that he gets in knowing that that's true about me and it's true about us. And that is nothing compared to the heart of Jesus for you. And we have convinced ourselves that Jesus is somewhere expecting you to perform and kind of mildly irritated that you're not doing a very good job. And this one little verse, it just blows that out of the water. Come to me and I will give you rest. My desire is that we would know each other better. And of course, he knows us really well. So it's about us knowing him. And that we would sit. And that we would be. And that we would be rejuvenated. Because we have been set free from this rat race that we have been indoctrinated in. That your life is just a grand performance and you've got to prove yourself every day. That work has been done through Jesus Christ. This is God's heart for you guys. And I just want to ask you this morning, what keeps you from rest? Chuck Swindoll said, in place of our exhaustion and spiritual fatigue, God will give us rest. All he asks is that we come to him, that we spend a while thinking about him, meditating on him, talking to him, listening in silence, occupying ourselves with him, totally and thoroughly lost in the hiding place of his presence. This week, I want to challenge you guys to give yourself some permission to rest. This is not my invitation to you. This is God's invitation to you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the truth of the gospel that has set us free. Lord, we thank you that through you, we can know our identity is secure, that our eternity is secure, and that we are free now not to no longer run the rat race and to strive in our own strength and to seek the praise of men, but we're free to serve you. We're free to invest our lives in following you, and we're free to rest because that's how you've wired us. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here. I pray that you would help us release a lifestyle of striving, release a lifestyle of performance, and bring us to a place where we're taking this invitation and regularly coming to you, not just once, but over and over and over as a lifestyle, so that you will give us rest. In Jesus' name, amen.